This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Central.com. It is Friday morning, Sex Talk with John T. Searle. This is on radio, this is unscripted, and I have no doubt this morning is most definitely uncensored. So it's men talking about sex, and it's just men today.
Manly men.
Manly men.
Very good. So with us is Warren.
Howdy.
From Inova Health. Bruce from Inova Health.
Howdy doody.
Charlie, where are you from? Beside the street corner.
Yep, that's where I'm from.
Oh, that's where I recognize you.
Okay, so let's see if you guys have between you any working brain cells this morning.
Chocolate Star. Twitterback.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
partialism.
Dirty dictionary word.
Partialism. So WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. What you think partialism is? Anything you'd like to know about male sexuality? Anything you'd like to know about straight sex, gay sex, kinky sex, in-between sex, any kind of sex that anybody here might know anything about? Because between us, I think we've had a fair amount of sexual experiences. And we might know just a little bit.
I'm just here to learn.
Yeah, that's what they all say. Partialism. Warren, any clue on partialism?
Oh yeah, no, it's just when you put the tip in.
Mm-hmm.
Just partially in.
Partially in. Okay.
So it would be the opposite of indecent.
Exactly.
Bruce, partialism?
Yeah, I mean, similar to Warren, I got the whole, like, it's, you know, I'm partial to that. I'm partial to a bit of that. Mm-hmm. But also maybe something to do with parsley. You know, I mean, it's good for apparently neutralizing the breath. So sprinkling some parsley.
Neutralizing taste of semen?
Yeah, why not? Add some parsley to your spunk.
Okay, yeah. Like a good put on salad as dressing and
completely.
A little chopped parsley.
High in protein, high in zinc.
There we go.
I don't know if I'm old enough for this conversation.
Partialism.
Yeah, silly. The natural sort of process of my brain goes to selectionism or to selectiveness, but I'm probably completely wrong.
Okay, so you're the warmest. Definitely the warmest. You guys are way out in left field.
Damn it.
So, towards the end of the show, we will talk about partialism. So, why don't you please remind me to come back to what partialism is?
Cool.
So I can tell you. So Charlie, you're the closest so far. So I thought it would be an interesting thing to have men talking about sex this morning. And just a minute ago, I thought a starting point is labels.
Mm.
How do we label ourselves as men? And I guess a fair starting question is, are the labels really important to you as a sexual being? That you consider yourself gay, straight, bi, kink, whatever it is.
Mm.
So that's not a rhetorical question.
No.
This is a time.
And I love how we're all nodding on the radio. We're all nodding.
Could
hear us nodding.
Yeah. To me, anyway, the idea of labeling happens long before you actually apply a word to what or who you are. It's how you dress. It's how you present yourself. It's how you put yourself out there. And it will also, obviously, it will hugely affect who it is that you attract.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's...
I think it has pros and cons, you know. For me, there have been times where labels have worked to my advantage, mm-hmm. and there have been times when labels have definitely, you know, boarding school being labeled as gay or morphe was not great for me. But now if I meet somebody and I'm attracted to that person, and I discover that that person uses the label gay, then my chances of coming right to that person are a lot better than if that person was to label themselves as being straight. So, you know, these things are, I suppose it is in a way, it's categorizing ourselves, labeling ourselves, putting ourselves in boxes. But those boxes are really helpful. If they, you know, if you're looking for something and you've been packaged, you know, Warren, you've just had this experience moving house. You put all your stuff just into random boxes and you don't put any labels. You're not going to find anything anytime soon. But if you put things in boxes and you put a nice label like kitchen utensils, you're going to know, hey, this is where I'm going to find that kitchen utensil that I really like.
But you might find something really interesting as well when you kind of go randomly looking.
Miscellaneous box.
Yeah.
I like me a miscellaneous box.
So here's
too.
A question for you. For a lot of gay men, the thought of a straight man is really exciting.
Totes.
Yeah. There we go. Question answered.
That's why he sits next to me all the time.
Wow. I hate to generalize, but for me, generally, it's definitely.
Question answered.
Yeah.
I forgot something. We are next week, and I just thought of this. We are doing something next week really exciting. We are doing a live blowjob lesson in the studio.
Wow.
So the intention is that we are going to have a couple. I'm going to teach the lesson. So everybody is going to learn the most amazing blowjob techniques. And one of the biggest things you're going to learn is how to make this an amazing act of pleasure and power for the giver.
Okay.
And that changes everything. So he is going to talk about what he's experiencing while it's happening, and she is going to talk afterwards, because it's really rude to talk with your mouth full, and sometimes you can't pronounce words very clearly. With something that's it. It's like going to the dentist and having fun. How are you today? And
it's a mouthful.
So the only way is to keep some people quiet, actually.
It is one of the best ways. So
sure.
I just thought of, what about the possibility of having a male couple in the studio at the same time doing the same thing?
Look, I'm sold. I think that's a great idea. I don't know where you're going to find that couple, but if you can find them...
Well, that's why I'm looking pointedly at you, Bruce.
Me? I'd need to be in a couple, first of all.
Okay. You're about to have a really good Friday.
I'm very flexible. I can try and do it to myself at this stage. But
So I don't really mind how you do it. So... I would be enormously appreciative if you think that you could find a gay couple to be part of this.
Well,
so firstly, I'm putting it out there.
Yeah.
And secondly, because you are in that world, it would be really wonderful.
I'm told from the doorman that the queues outside are starting to build up already.
Yeah, just sit your butt down there for a second, because...
Sit your butt down.
Yeah, because it's a cute butt.
Thank you very much.
Because there is an individual who makes a claim that he can give as good a blowjob, if not better, than any woman he knows.
And
Mr.
I have to
David
change,
Levinson.
I have to change my voice. Why don't you tell him my real name? I thought we were anonymous on the show.
Yes, that's correct.
No, I just thought about it. I thought about how many bad ones I've had, and not had the guts to say, "What are you doing? Like, this is not." I know you, like a lady person who doesn't have their own penis, would have to try their best from what they've seen, a movie or a thing, and then you don't want to say anything, because that might be the last one you get.
Well, you don't.
I just find a little guiding, some sort of guiding, like you have a guidance system. Do you ever see a movie called Ratatouille?
Yes.
Where the rat holds his hair like that, so he pulls it left, holds it pulls him right. So that's the kind of system I've adopted now. Basically, I call it the Ratatouille.
No,
with the head. So you just pull the ponytail over to the left. Put it to the right, push it down, sort of guide, but you got to be careful because there's teeth involved.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Or so not.
That's why I do a lot of my work is done at old age
homes. Oh my God.
It cheers them up.
There's an exception to this.
And the nice thing is that most of them with Alzheimer's, they don't remember who you are. Unlike you, standing
there's a lot
full
to be said
names.
For grateful,
so you can go back again and again.
Well, that's what I'm saying. As a man, as a straight man, I think I could do it better knowing what I like, but I'm not sure what everyone likes. What I like.
So, what makes a bad blowjob?
Non-attentiveness to, like, I don't want you to praise the penis. I want you to have cock worship ideals, but enjoy it. Make like you are enjoying it, and at least we can agree that you're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
If I sense that you're not enjoying it, then don't bother.
What makes a bad blowjob?
scrape marks from teeth.
Uh-huh. And also the price these days.
I tell you, it's ridiculous.
I nearly died. I mean, but also, what was it? Somerset Roads was 50 Rand back in my day. And now, gosh, 300, are you up to 8,000 Rand you're getting charged?
Because that's on Rivonia Road.
I am Mrs. Benson. I am Mrs. Fundamapper from Bryanston.
If you went to, Troyville
Oxford
Road. Troyville. You know, one of the roads near Ellis Park, it would probably be a whole lot
is
less.
It? Really? But then again.
And you get the toothless option.
You've made notes.
So Warren,
he has diagrams.
So Warren is sitting here with this whole notebook open with all of
these
things.
Let's not bother about being negative. Let's not talk about what makes a bad blowjob.
What I find also makes a good blowjob is so often, you know, the nether regions that you need
balls.
To cup a little bit. You got to cup those
balls. You're doing the signal. If people are listening.
Yeah, no. So basically, you've really got to cradle the testicles and.
Mine not big enough to cradle.
Mm-hmm. Of mankind.
One hand's just, enough.
Okay, right. Yeah, it's important. Like, pay attention to the balls.
And what about the rusty trombone? Get right in there and around the back. While you're going.
Well, I don't know. As long as you just don't lick your fingers off.
No, you don't. Not your fingers. It's her fingers. Are you straight?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's her fingers. Or his fingers, suppose. Am I gay if I have another guy giving me a blowjob?
Well, it's an
not necessarily if you close your eyes and have a good imagination.
It's an interesting
question. I went to boarding school. So that was the prerequisite.
Did you do blowjobs at boarding school?
Yeah, hello. That's what boarding school is for. Send your sons to boarding school. It is homosexual training school. I'm telling you, that's where.
It's just for homework and for like learning
homework.
And how else do you get fuck money?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That whole like. Yeah, no.
People are going to get arrested after listening to this. No. That wasn't my real name.
No, listen. After what we did a few weeks ago and what we're doing next week. We're safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still not old enough for this conversation.
Did you not go to boarding school?
So anybody who's been to boarding school, how true is the Maori biscuit story actually?
You've asked us this before, and I've never really seen it. I know guys that said it is the last one to come eats the biscuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's also very homoerotic.
No, not me personally. We did something called Fuzzy Bunny. With marshmallows.
And what is Fuzzy Bunny?
I think where you like try and shove as many marshmallows in your mouth, but somehow.
And then someone sticks their balls in your mouth, and you're like, that's not a marshmallow!
Jeez, I prefer your version, to be honest. Like, yo. Yeah, no.
My blurb for my show has 11 listeners. And yours has many, huh?
I partially listen to yours.
With one ear.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I'm getting ready for this. And it's mostly good.
Well, we try and keep it industry-based, but the problem is it's too industry-based. Yeah. A lot of people don't get it. So there's two in-house references, and we're trying to make it more accessible.
In-house, I suppose as it would in be the comedy industry?
Comedy industry,
central
with
industry?
You, with the sex industry,
in
sometimes you talk very amongst yourselves, and you kind of lose the person going, well, I'm not involved in sex that much. I work at 9 to 5. I maybe have sex once a week with my husband.
You have good hands and really good wrists.
I told you I want to write a book about masturbation techniques.
I think it's really good.
The book?
No, masturbation.
Oh, the movie.
pop-up book.
It's a pop-up book.
Yeah.
But the pages get really sticky after page 9.
So are you gonna,
numbers.
So are you going to come next week and do commentary for us, like a racehorse? And away they go!
Wouldn't that not be insulting, though? Because, I mean, it's quite a sensual thing. Some people actually rate a blowjob more sensual than sex. Because he said, that is my outward thing, where sex is an inward thing.
Are we boring you, Warren?
No, I'm just trying to stop this
vibrating
thing.
Don't take photos.
Stop the vibrator. He's got his vibrator. He always brings his vibrator whenever he's on the radio. It's very annoying.
Vibrator needs to be in your front pocket, not
your back
pocket.
Warren. Jeez, can you turn your vibrator off?
Warren and Bradley Donovan.
Bradley Donovan.
What's your name?
My new single is coming out. Hey?
What's in your head when you're getting a blowjob? Do you think of...
In your head, usually, is a penis when you're giving a blowjob.
No, but in your what are you thinking of? What are you thinking of?
What am I thinking of? Don't vomit, generally.
I'm thinking you're getting one.
Okay. Usually, it's like, I mean, my pet hate is when somebody takes it literally, when they try blowing. Like, what, you know, I'm not like,
that.
I'm
that's
a birthday balloon, you know, to inflate.
But
it's like,
there's an exception to that, and there's an exception to the teeth as well, but you have to listen next week to learn the exceptions.
Okay.
But
do you think of gay images?
You need to learn to do that, David.
Yes, completely.
So does heterosexual sexual images never pop into your head? Or do you
No, it does, but I focus on the guy in the heterosexual sex image in my head. So, like... You know, I mean, it's quite hot, the concept of like a guy and a girl together, okay. But I'll just focus on the guy. And sometimes, if depending on my mood, I might pretend that I'm the girl.
Do you think the person that's giving you the blowjob knows that you're thinking of someone else?
Of course they do, because they do the same thing.
Maybe if you're having sex with John Edward, you know, and then crossing over, coming over, overcoming, he'll know.
He must have a terrible sex life, because if he can see dead people, that means they're watching masturbating.
And they're judging him.
Please, Gran, don't watch me now. Just tickle my balls.
Yeah, imagine all your ancestors watching you, holding up scorecards afterwards.
Please, next time we talk about blowjobs, well not use it? My real name.
That's my name. Yeah, that's my boy.
What should I call you then?
Willem van Schalkwyk.
Willem van Schalkwyk.
Sex educator. Standards 9 to 12.
Oi. There was something you said earlier about vibrator. I read this thing about a new vibrator that's come out. So you know there's all these Fitbits that measure everything that you do with exercise.
Yeah.
Do you use one when you go to the gym?
There's one built in into my Apple Watch.
So what this does is a woman puts it inside her yoni,
mm-hmm.
and it measures muscle contractions, it measures body temperature, and does all of this thing and sends it to an app on your phone. And tells you how intense your experience
but who's
was.
Are you bragging about that with the other ladies at book club? Going, look how intense my orgasm was. Yeah. Like, oh, that's fantastic.
Wow.
And there is actually, there's a porn site that did a world orgasm championship or whatever. So they put sensors on these women and they measure the, I don't know how they did it, like either their heart rate to measure the intensity of their orgasm. So while they're having orgasms at the bottom of the screen, this whole thing is kind of...
But that's like a Facebook event. Everyone says they're coming, but they're not necessarily...
Interested.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you spoke about men faking orgasms.
Mm. They do, because sometimes... What stops a man coming? Interesting thing. What would stop you coming?
Well, it could be related to age group.
Mm-hmm.
It may be also, maybe, like, sometimes I'll have, like, 5 wanks, and then someone invites me over 6, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Been there. Where were you 5 minutes ago?
You told me in the morning.
Jeez. I was like,
because I wouldn't have.
Your timing is emptied, shocking.
Because I've emptied the cookie jar, and now you're paying me for a booty call. You really need to. I need to know. So that could be one thing.
Eat a banana and wait 45 minutes.
Eat a banana and wait 45 minutes. I don't have that much time. These people booty calls don't. They answer the next one if I don't answer immediately.
Wow, jeez.
So what do bananas have in them?
Potassium, and they're quite phallic as well. I think they just inspire me, maybe.
Oh. So can you practice learning blowjobs on bananas?
Not if you don't like the taste of bananas.
Oh.
Or your fetish will become if you'll only give a blowjob if it tastes like as a banana tastes.
I would recommend you peel it, though, because it has that like rough like little black thing at the edge that can scratch the back of your throat. Or maybe you can put a condom over it first.
Wouldn't you rather practice on a dildo?
Yeah, then you have to like wash it afterwards. You can eat the banana afterwards.
So it doesn't matter.
It's far more like better for the environment. You know, like I'm a conscientious.
Banana is much more multifunctional.
Yeah.
No, but then you're
ecological,
full of gob and
biodegradable. And I'm sure. I don't think dildos are biodegradable. I think Armageddon, they're going to find all these like.
Cockroaches and dildos.
Cockroaches and dildos. That's what's going to be left. Somebody needs to write a futuristic Armageddon.
District 69.
There's just cockroaches and fucking dildos everywhere. And that, as for that lubricant, never-ending lube.
The little space dudes are going to come and just shake their heads. And that's the mark of our civilization. That's what we've left behind. Sex toys and cockroaches.
They elected a dildo in America, so he's running the place.
Toads.
Yeah. Toads and goats. Jonty, I need to write my blurb for my show that I don't remember. If I don't write it now, I'm not going to remember what we did.
That's quite sad. You know? It really talks about the state of your mental health.
We had a whole week to decide. There's more. Do a bit of manscaping. I like that. That's important.
You got to manscape, man.
Who must make the noise, the getter or the giver?
Both.
Okay, so you got to do.
This is not convince or.
No.
You know, make the noise.
Yeah. So, were these Warren's issues and questions and comments?
I certainly like that. He's like, a giggle. Like,
you don't want to lose your notebook at the Vita. If I'm reading, you're like, damn. It's evil.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for your contribution.
I appreciate letting me come in.
We're not paying you for it, but it was really good.
No one gets paid on this.
Armageddon.
That's my safe word.
Armageddon, yeah. Cheers.
Okay. What's next on your list, Warren?
Oh, Jesus. The list is long yet distinguished.
Yeah.
Are we still talking about? I don't even mind.
The one thing I gotta say is, like, you know, when having sex, this particularly pertains to the girls. Ask before you do a stinky pinky. A lot of guys will be into it, but don't surprise us. It could be a bit of a shock.
Okay.
So maybe just explain to the people at home what a stinky pinky is for you, because
that might be different.
I think some people might have a different idea of what a stinky pinky.
Yeah, slipping a finger in your ass. So don't take it by surprise.
So just a pinky or a finger or your thumb?
Well, maybe depends if you're a novice or not, I suppose.
I mean, look, it does take away the element of surprise if you ask.
Sometimes
if you have to ask,
surprise can be exciting.
It can.
So what's
it also depends on what finger as well. Like if it's just the pinky, then maybe it's better. But if you're shoving your whole thumb, like full finger and thumb in there, you like.
So what are the rules for that? The first rule is lube.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of lube.
Yep.
Second rule is short nails.
Mm.
Yeah.
Third rule is no rings.
Well, just one.
Just
ring.
One, yeah.
So in that case, if you like it, then you shouldn't put a ring on it. Yeah. And also, like, I mean, there's ways to approach it. You don't necessarily, like, have to have a whole, like, sit-down conference about, so how do you feel about me penetrating you with my smallest digit on my right hand? But you, there are ways that you can sort of approach and fiddle and have a feel and see how the person is, like, if the person is, like, making nice sounds, then maybe it's a good thing. But if the person's doing the dolphin, like, then generally it's like, I don't think that person is happy with you going forward, you know.
I think we need to differentiate between repeated sex with one partner or sex with new partners all the time. So you're talking, obviously, as if it's new partners every time. But often that new partnership thing is around cause and reaction. So you try something and you see the reaction. If the reaction is good, you go further in that direction. If the reaction is not good, you take a different direction or whatever. Obviously, when you've been together with somebody for a long time or you've had sex frequently with them, you have an understanding of the things that they like and they don't like. It's not really a blanket thing. There's not a one-size-fits-all sort of scenario at all. So it very much depends where you're at, who you're with.
Good
and
point.
The fact that on a given day, there's certain things you might want than other days.
Exactly.
And I think it's an interesting thing because we know that different things work different ways, different times for women. No, we don't always know that because a lot of men do exactly the same thing at the same time in the same way. But there are days as men where you want something different as well.
Yep.
You don't always want the same things. Like you're not eating scrambled eggs for breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get kind of caught in that trap that men want the same thing or need the same thing every day and are quite happy with
it. And as men, we often assume women are the same as well.
That's it.
Mm.
And that's a big one.
It's true. I think it also just it can sometimes be a journey as well, as you say. You know, over a period of time, maybe, you know, in the beginning it's going to be more vanilla because the basics of intimacy are quite exciting in the early stages, and then you begin to explore the person as
you. But you often find that with first time experiences, it's often extremely clumsy, extremely messy, extremely not really sort of what you'd, I don't know.
Yeah, not a performance to be judged on.
Exactly, and it's only really kind of when you get to the second, third, maybe even tenth, sometimes longer, that you start finding a synergy that exists. I don't know if you. Yeah.
I think maybe I've just had too many first times with too many.
So
I'm really good at the first time. I think. Yeah.
I was going to say maybe you're just a first time expert. Yeah. You're a
occupational hazard.
Yeah. Now we need a little bit of sustainability.
Yes, I hear you. Amen.
Are you busy after the show?
What is so exciting about a straight man for a gay man?
Well, obviously I can't speak on behalf of all gay men, but for myself, it's always, it's what you think that you can't get, you know. Also, it's become fetishized for me because of boarding school, because of having grown up surrounded by predominantly alpha heterosexual men and, you know, communal showers. So it was the taboo. It was, don't look, And I think because it's taboo, it makes it naughtier, it makes it sexier. So for me, the thought of being able to seduce a straight man is very erotic. But there's also other issues. You know, it's probably also a reflection of my own internalized homophobia in some ways, shapes and forms, and the masculine ideal. Mm. And I mean, that's always what's so interesting for me as a gay man, is that there's a part of me that is that fine line between wanting to own, be, and reflect a certain kind of masculinity, but also wanting to possess or interact with or have sex with a certain kind of masculinity, and the dynamics and everything in between that is quite fascinating for me.
Yeah. Would it change your self-definition if you had a sexual experience with another man of any nature? You need a little bit closer to.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking of the answer. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, it hasn't happened, so I can't perceive what might. I can't predict the future. I don't know how that would affect who I am. I don't know.
Okay, Warren, do you think it would change your self-definition?
No, I don't think so. As I said, I also haven't gone there, but I don't think it would.
I don't see myself as homophobic. Mm. I'm just not necessarily attracted to men, so I haven't put myself in positions where that is an issue, where you have to make those choices. Mm. It tends to kind of avoid the situations where the choices need to be made if you don't want to make the choices, kind of thing. Yeah. So.
Well, as a gay guy who has had experiences with women sexually, that some of which I enjoyed, I still don't identify as bisexual or heterosexual.
So have you had experiences? You've obviously had experiences with. Mainstream straight men.
No, I wish. No. Well, I mean, yes.
You never converted somebody.
Okay, so no.
You never had a sexual experience that didn't convert somebody.
No, that's just in my fantasy list. I mean, the thing is, to be honest, that's actually not something that I really want to have happen, because the complexities and the psychological implications and everything. The last thing I want to do is to confuse somebody or to convince somebody to be something that they're not. The idea is a sexy one, in the same way that, like, you know, this vixen naked on the back of a motorbike might be for you, you know, arriving, and it's all a fantasy, but the reality is often very different from the fantasy. So the fantasy is that, you know, this hot, you know, that the stormers arrive at my front door, or that the Lions decide that they're going to cancel practice this afternoon, they're going to come take me and all give me a group massage. That is the fantasy. I think the reality would be terribly fucking frightening. I think I would crap myself if a rugby team arrived at the office this afternoon and decided, you know, and offered to give me a free naked massage. I would run away. I'd go and lock myself in the toilet, probably. So, you know, that's what I mean. It's the difference between fantasy and the actual nuts and bolts of sexual
the reality.
Practice. Yeah,
which brings up its own really interesting question.
Crapping yourself would probably put most straight men off. Just
yeah, no, I think it puts most people off in general, unless they happen to have like a scat fetish.
Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
But it brings up an interesting thing of fantasies that you would actually like to become reality, and what that would actually involve. So, for example, a lot of men have a fantasy, a lot of straight men have a fantasy about two women.
Yeah.
And the mechanics of that is actually very different to what you think it is, and it actually is a hell of a lot of work.
Yeah. And can be quite awkward as well.
Yeah.
Somebody always ends up feeling left out.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting one of saying, I'd like this to happen, but the mechanics of it. So there's a wonderful Playboy TV series, produced a great series called Swing. And in one episode, a woman is talking about her fantasy for her partner. And she's saying, the biggest fantasy that she has for him is that he's lying down, there's a woman on his face, there's a woman on his cock, there's a woman on each hand. And he just looks at her and he says, fuck, that just seems like so much work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the reality versus the fantasy are two very, very different things, and it could be quite a disappointment.
Absolutely. And most fantasies are, unless they're really carefully planned, and a lot of them are never going to come close to the reality.
Yeah.
They're mostly disappointing.
Yeah.
So our fantasies exist in the mind.
Mm. Yeah. And should often stay there.
I think there's also the dynamics, you know, are different in the reality of the situation. So, for example, I was on a show once where one of the guys that I was in the show with was a straight guy, but he was very comfortable with his sexuality. He'd been in the show before where he'd played a gay character, and that character had to kiss another guy in the show. So he was very comfortable, but I could see and suss that he was very heterosexual. So we all, as a cast, went for drinks and Camps Bay the one evening. I was very open about the fact that I thought this guy was drop dead gorgeous. I was like, oh my God, you know, fan myself. This guy's like beautiful. So he'd had a couple of beers and they were like, oh, come on, man, shame. No, give Brucey a snog, you know, kiss him. He was like, yeah, sure, okay, I don't care, you know, it means nothing to me. And I bolted, I ran around the cocktail table to get away from him, because for me, it wouldn't have meant anything to him. Snogging me wouldn't have meant anything to him, you know, but for me, it would have meant something big. I'm very attracted to him. He's a beautiful man. I'm harboring feelings for him. So the reality was actually horrifying. Because I would have been in a situation where somebody was just doing something like meh for him, but for me it would have been a huge thing. Mm. So I wouldn't allow him to touch me because I was like, no, fuck off.
Really interesting one.
So the idea is very titillating and exciting, but in the reality, I was like, there's no fucking way I'm going to go through with this.
Mm. It's quite interesting there because it's a complete reverse of a normal situation in a way. It's usually the straight guy that's completely like, oh God, don't touch me, running away, and the gay guy's, oh, titillating, etc.
Exactly.
But there's obviously this very, very much deeper rooted kind of emotion that underlies it as well. So. Mm.
And also, he was just going to be making a statement. There's no attraction from his side. So it would have. I didn't want to be. I've never been big on making statements. So sexuality and intimacy for me are like almost sacred in a way. So even to the point where when I am in a relationship and I'm walking in public with my partner, and the partner wants to hold my hand to make a statement for the benefit of all the people around me, then I don't like to do it, because then it's no longer about our intimacy. Now it's about us making a statement or a political. Mm. So it's if it happens naturally and I'm walking with somebody and then we're holding hands and I don't even think about it, then that's beautiful. But it's all about, you know, I think it's how you feel about your sexuality and how you express your intimacy.
Hmm. What's next on the list?
Pets. All right. So there's nothing worse than having Mr. Fairy Tinkles, the Persian cat, watching your nether regions bouncing in and out and looking at it like it's a Christmas decoration, wanting to tap and, you know, the pain is horrible. They're scratches.
Warren, is this from personal experience that you're talking? Because this sounds like a very personal.
Are you asking for a friend, Warren?
Story.
All I'm saying is pets don't belong in the bedroom.
I agree.
Take them outside.
Yeah.
And especially cats, they're judgmental little bastards. So, yeah, they
is
are.
That not just a little bit of projection there?
No, you see the way they look at you.
Anthropomorphism.
You see how they look at you.
I had an experience with a guy who had this fox terrier that bit me. And it was, I mean, we weren't even getting jiggy. We were just like sort of, he'd made this Christmas bed and we were watching, such a cliche, we were watching a Barbra Streisand movie. And we were watching this movie and I laughed a little bit too animatedly. And his dog bit me because it was like, so imagine if something else was going down. It's just, yeah. And keep your pets out of the bedroom until at least there's, you know each other a bit better, I think.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a word for your phobia, something like zoophobia or something like
it's
that.
It's called reality.
Well, it's called some people's reality.
Yeah. I'm sure some people are into that. They're like, you know, if they've got pugs and they want to get pugs want to get right on in there. It's like,
Now we're getting to.
Listen, it's not unheard of that people would actually like smear their nether regions with something like Marmite or Bovril or something so that their pet would enjoy making it off.
Peanut butter.
Yeah. Peanut butter. I've heard of that as well.
So I'm not for that, okay. Let me just put this in context, what I'm going to say next.
Look, there's no judging. There's no judging. If that is your thing, we won't judge you.
And it isn't, okay. But but I do know that for some people it is, okay. And I'm okay with that.
Too much.
I'm okay with that.
You prefer almond butter.
I think a lot of people might not be okay with that because they see it as maybe misuse of the animal or whatever. The question is that I want to ask you is if you're in that sort of situation with a partner or with yourself when you self-pleasuring, and your loving animal comes up and licks you, for instance, out of their own free will. Okay, so I'm not saying you're enticing the animal to get involved in your sexuality, but if the animal happens to come,
oh my God,
and decide to sniff your bum as dogs do,
yeah,
or lick you as dogs might, okay, is this a bad thing?
The dog must be put out immediately.
Also a level not, of personal put, not put down.
Not no, put down. No, no, I'm not saying. I'm not saying you need to give lethal injections to the dog. I'm saying put it out. Put it outside. We're doing human grown up things now. You know, like no, Daddy says no. Outside. Go play with your bone. Not mine.
Oh, Mother Hubbard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so can we rise up from the sewer just
yeah,
a little?
Yeah, this is not my comfort zone at all.
That went quite left field.
Bestial.
Well, it's important to look at the things in the dark side. Okay, Warren, you're the one with the agenda morning.
Welcome to my show, yeah? Yeah, so there's also like a little bit of etiquette, I think, that needs to go down as well. And uh-huh. Especially when it comes to after the fact or the morning after or whatever. One of them being, you know, often nowadays we live in an Uber society. Be a gent. You order the Uber. Uh-huh. The lady's going to go home. Let her go home. You pay for the thing. I mean, she came through and it was a good time.
And if you paid for the whole night, do you still order the Uber?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For the night or for the late? Like, there's two different things here.
Okay.
Talk yeah, about, yeah.
So if you pay
talk about
for
first world problems.
Yeah.
So if you paid for the night and the lady of the night, do you still pay for the Uber in the morning?
No, because she normally has her own dude that picks her up.
Okay.
And yeah, well, and how do you do, I mean, what? Morning, honey, your Uber's here. I can't.
That takes all choice out of the equation.
Exactly.
That takes out, would you like to have breakfast? Do you want coffee?
Yeah.
That says, it's time to go. Cheers.
Cheers, yeah. Thanks for last night. Yeah.
But that's the next thing. I mean, don't always assume that you're spending the night. I mean,
yeah,
that goes
true.
Both ways.
That's
I mean,
true. It needs to be a discussion. Yeah.
But I also think it's fair that if you are spending the night, the person whose place it isn't should offer to go get breakfast or make breakfast. I think
that's a nice gesture.
But these are rules that you're making up in your head. These are maybe boundaries that you find common and reasonable, etc. But there might be dozens of people out there that have a completely different view of this of this process.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that everybody has their own idea of what's right or wrong afterwards or before in the process or the way through.
Yeah. So in light of that, kind of a connected to that, whose responsibility is it to clean the toys?
I think it could be both.
I think it's whoever the toys belong to.
Yeah, it's and ownership.
The ownership of the
toys.
So it's the same person that's going to clean do the linen and the laundry and you know and do the general cleaning of the place of residence. Look, I mean, if I've had a one night stand at somebody's house and there has been some kind of like messiness or whatever, I'm not going to stick around and offer to do their laundry and clean their toys.
Even though it was your mess.
Even if it was my mess. Yeah, because they enjoyed that mess. So,
okay,
so they scored in their own way.
But I do think you have an obligation to clean your toys before your next use.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's not like a teapot. You know, a teapot you're supposed to leave because it builds up a nice flavor or something. So it's not a teapot.
No, I'll do the toys tomorrow.
Yeah, no. No, you put that stuff in the dishwasher.
Some toys are obviously easier to clean than others. And we're talking about the obvious ones that are rubber and plastic and that kind of thing. But you have things like floggers, for instance, which are often made of leather, which are very difficult to clean. You can't wash them. But yet they do take residual skin off a person and retain it. So the next time you use that same flogger again, it will be basically putting somebody else's skin onto another person.
Well, you could wipe it down, I suppose.
Unless it's the same person, which is also you can't really wipe it down. This is the thing. I mean, you can like flap it around to get rid of like your dust or carpet, but you can't really. Not all toys are easy to clean. You know, some are, and one would perceive that most toys would be made, sex toys specifically, would be made with the objective of having them easy to clean, but it's not necessarily the case, so it's But it is.
What do people do with leather furniture? They wipe it down. So they, I mean, surely it's the same thing. Like anything, like leather shoes, you have to wipe.
I've never
it down.
Been spanked by a couch.
Never.
There's a first time for everything. Corey Craft, are you listening? Rochester.
That would be an interesting thing, like if a furniture manufacturer actually came up with some little kind of bondage additions to lounge furniture.
Call it like Horny Craft.
Well, yeah. You get like a lazy boy, and then there's like a spanky boy. Spanky boy.
And you just have like a little Velcro hideaway that has some restraints on the couch, you know, to spread somebody out on. And
you pull a lever and something just...
You heard it first, yeah.
Yeah.
Lazy Boy actually could get you into some very interesting sex positions.
Definitely.
No question Definitely. Of that.
Hmm, there's a market for somebody out there.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, you know, we're well represented in the furniture world. I mean, mm-hmm. with many accounts, you get a poof. So, we're sorted, we looked after. They know about us. They know that we like good quality furniture. Who likes, I like a very solid poof. So
I've always been told supported. That one of the things you shouldn't say in a gay bar is, can I push your stool in for you?
Oh, God. That is nasty.
And now, yeah.
That would be an interesting show one day, actually, is how filthy and disgusting could we actually get? We have a certain level of filter, but where could we actually go one day?
We can go pretty far, and we need to have Tamar in for that as well, because she's like the queen. I mean, she's not afraid.
Absolutely no boundaries, no limitations.
Definitely. We miss you, Tamar.
That would be an interesting one. Next item on the agenda, sir.
Probably one of the most important.
Uh-huh.
Protection.
Protection. Whose responsibility is it?
Technically, both.
Uh-huh.
Always yours. Always yours.
But always make sure you look after yourself first.
Oh. Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's always your responsibility to take care of yourself at the end of the day. You know, and in the heart of the moment, and when we're all amorous and we've had a few drinks or whatever, people will say whatever the hell they think that you want to hear. You know, to get what they want. And you can't, unfortunately, you can't take somebody at face value in that situation. They're not thinking with the right head.
Mm.
So you need to take care of yourself and take steps to protect yourself.
Yep.
Very, very Absolutely. Good.
Mm.
Okay. Dealt with. Next.
Also, cleaning up. I mean, we did cover this in terms of laundry and whatever, but actually the physical of both of your bodies. I know you could still add it as part of the what would be called after play.
Part of the politics, who gets to sleep in the wet spot?
Well, if you do it right, you won't have to.
if you do it left, you might have to. if you do it right, somebody else might have to.
Yeah, yeah. I just think like if it's your place and you just chuck the lady a towel and say, there you go. I don't know, it's kind of a bit weird. But a little bit of a mutual clean-up session could actually be a little fun.
Oh, yeah, like taking a shower together afterwards is always great. It's also just a nice way to unwind a little bit because, usually for me in my experience has been there's a bit of a frenzy and there's been this, like, rah, 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 hunger, yummy, yummy, and then afterwards, like, oh, okay, So what's your name? Oh, what do you do? Okay, cool. Yeah. So you live here? Is this your place?
You guys all in the same team?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Thomas.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so I used to play hooker at rugby as well back in the day. So good luck for the match tonight.
Are you still playing rugby, Bruce?
Is
the season done? Or is it
No. We're still practicing. The thing is, practice has moved to Diggers Rugby Club, other side of Rand.
Right up your street?
No, it's not, unfortunately. So I've been missing practice because it's a bit far. It means I have to sit in traffic. But I'm still supporting the Jersey Cats. Go Jersey Cats. And when I can, I will be there. But they're doing very, very well. We're beginning to win more and more matches. And we now have a contact rugby team as well. So it's not just touch rugby. Now there's
contact. You understand all the puns and all the possibilities in all of these
things. I have exhausted them, Jonty. I have exhausted them. If you follow me on Facebook, you have heard every single rugby innuendo and pun possible. So I'm not done. I'm bored of my own material now. I need to move on to another sport.
What's that going to be?
Fishing.
I think I'm sort of heading towards, you know, a bit of like swimming. Mm. Swimming.
Fishing reminds me of something. There's an app that I heard about called Clue. So what a woman does is she starts entering her menstrual cycle into it. So it starts to measure her hormonal patterns. And you're both on the, you both have the app. And if, as a friend of mine put it really delicately a few weeks ago, I know when to go fishing. And I know when the sex storm is coming.
Okay.
Interesting one. So there's actually an interesting idea with this, because men do go through hormonal cycles as well that impact on us. That if a man were to do that and to chart his moods and temperament over a monthly period, 28-day cycle, what would come up? Because there's times where men would be more irritable or less irritable, more open, more frustrated, more peaceful, and less.
Definitely.
It would be a really interesting thing to look at, to see how men would go through that cycle.
I think internally and externally, because I suppose, you know, it's also dictated by your behavior. So if you are traditionally jolling a lot over the weekend and drinking a lot on a Friday and a Saturday, then you're going to feel a certain way on most Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. So so it depends on your external influences as well as your internal. So in terms of, you know, keeping the hormones at bay, something I've always thought was a very clever idea is, because this tantric idea, I think, is a fantastic thing when you're in a relationship, you know, when you try not to climax and hold onto that energy and all of that kind of stuff. It's rad. You can channel it. But if you're single and you're going to go out with your friends and you're going to be drinking, I don't recommend it, because... you know, in fact, I recommend you give yourself a good, thorough going, sorting out before going out, because then I just find that you're a little bit more able to make better decisions at the end of the night when things can happen, because, you know...
Okay, now you've said a lot of euphemisms.
Okay, so basically...
So sex talk is not about euphemisms.
Yeah, I know, I keep forgetting,
so
sorry.
Sort yourself out before you end at the
so
end
have
of
a good
night,
wank. Okay, have a good wank go. Before you go out at night, because you're going to get drunk, you're going to get horny, and you're not going to be thinking clearly, particularly if you haven't wanked in a while, and there's this build-up, and I think it's a good idea to... Have a wank before you go out, before you drink, so you're less likely to just jump on the first thing with a pulse that looks in your direction.
Why is that such a bad thing? We've made it such an evil thing to do that. Why?
To jump on the first thing with...
Yes. Why is it such a terrible thing? Anybody?
Bad breath.
No. So for me it's a case of it's not that it's a bad thing, but it's like anything in life. It devalues anything devalues if it becomes too common. So if you are going to just be jumping on the first thing that comes along and having sex with it, then for me the value of sex becomes less. So it's about sex is special.
So there was a most beautiful tantric quote that I heard once, and it was about a woman who had a lot of sex, and the quote was, a temple is no less sacred for the amount of footsteps that have entered its doors.
Sure. Interesting. Worship.
So cock worship, which is a really interesting phrase. So in the world of BDSM, and we spoke to a lifestyle slave a while ago, and she referred to the fact that there is no such thing as a blowjob in that world. It's cock worship.
Sure.
Interesting.
So what's happening at Inova Health that's new and interesting and exciting?
There's always exciting new and wonderful things happening at Inova, but for the time being, I mean, I would just say, if you want to know as a man, if you're a man who wants to know about manly men sex things, and there's anything that you're curious about, then check out We the Brave, www.wethebrave.co.za. I've just written a piece recently about, what's it called, shingles. So shingles is quite interesting. I'm not talking about the things on your roof. Shingles is basically the same virus as chickenpox. So and a lot of men and older men get it, because if you had chickenpox as a child and your immune system is then compromised later on because you're not looking after yourself or you're tired or maybe you're HIV positive, then there is the virus can become reactivated because it sort of just chills in your body next to your spine. So, yeah. check it out. And once again, if there is any other information you need with regards to your sexual health, go to one of our Health for Men clinics. It's for free, and we have fantastic clinicians who are just ready, willing, and able to tell you whatever it is you need to know, and there's nothing you can tell them that will shock them.
Yeah. We also have, we've had a really good project that's been running, and we are looking at extending it further, called Score for Life.
Mm-hmm. Score for Life.
Score for Life. Yeah, it's not exactly what you think it is.
It's not Scoreful for Life.
No, not Scoreful.
Score, as in...
Score for Life.
Like cricket score.
Yeah. And basically, we had to see pop-up clinics doing HIV testing. Mm-hmm. And what was really cool about them is that they had extended hours. So guys who were stuck at work, whatever you... And they couldn't get to a normal clinic. We had these pop-up clinics everywhere. And it's been hugely successful. So we are looking at... implementing an extension of that, basically. So it's going to be
pop-up
exciting.
Where?
Everywhere. So we've had...
Back in the middle of Sandton City?
If the space... If we got the space, we'll do it, yeah.
Okay.
We've been in Soweto, Alex. And what's nice is it's there for a while.
Do you do corporates?
Well, yeah, maybe.
That's a serious question. It, yeah.
So we what we focus on areas that have a lot of traffic. So places where a lot of people, sort of urban areas where there is a lot of people that congregate over certain times of the day during lunch. So we want people during their lunch break to go in for a 15 to 20 minute screening of for STIs like HIV, so that they can just quickly. There's no excuse. You can just find out quickly what is your status, because. Yeah. The only issue nowadays is if you don't know your status. If you know your status, either way, if you're HIV positive or HIV negative, you are in a better place. Yeah. It's always better to know, always, no matter which way you look at it.
Are more people getting tested?
There's always more people getting tested, but there is still so much stigma, and there's never enough. So people are getting tested every day, but there are always challenges, and the challenges are... just ignorance, or people not knowing, or fear, or people not wanting to be seen getting tested, and those are the things that need to be challenged. And I think even if you do know your status, sometimes it's good to go and get tested regularly so that other people can see you doing it and seeing it's not such a big deal, it's not such a bad thing. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's more to be afraid of. You know, it's not more terrifying not knowing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and as we said before, I mean, HIV is easily managed. It's really no worse than diabetes. It's
easier.
It's even easier. Yeah.
Easier
it's
than diabetes.
It's one pill a day, pretty much.
Okay. So let's go back to partialism.
Partial.
So Master Charles was the most correct. So partialism is being turned on or aroused or fascinated by body parts that are not necessarily the genitals.
Ooh.
Foot fetish.
Yeah, there we go. That would be a part of it. Could be hands, could be a neck, ears, eyes, whatever, anything.
Yeah, shoulders. So
there you go.
Okay. I'm a partialist, y'all.
There we go. Absolutely. Gentlemen, all, this has been really interesting and fun. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to go through my list.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing the list for it. Otherwise,
I wouldn't have known what to talk about.
Just with regards to your challenge that you posed for next week. So if there is anyone out there listening who is... maybe a gay couple or a gay guy who is open to coming on the show and doing having a blowjob and sharing it, please let us know or let me know. I personally can't think of anyone off the top of my head who'd be quite happy to do that.
That's why you're going to toddle off and put it all over your social media sites and all over your personal sites.
So let me know if that's your flavor flav.
There we go. So thank you so much. Visit my website, www.eroslife.co.za. We are adding new stuff every week, new articles, audio, and soon some really cool video clips. Anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, I do actually. Warren, we're going to use that list right that you got right there and put it out as an open survey. So, guys, come onto the website, look at the list, tell us what you think about what Warren thinks.
Cool.
And it'll be interesting to see what the results are.
Absolutely. So, you'll email that to Charlie.
I'll email it through.
And then we can do that. That's really fantastic.
Awesome. Cool.
Absolutely. Still a few places left for our dolphin retreat in Mozambique in September. And there are whales in the bay. So not only do you get to swim with dolphins.
I've heard there are a few on the beach too.
Oh. Not only do you get to swim with dolphins, but we get to watch whales and the most awesome food and beach. And the information is up on our website, on our Facebook page. So thank you all very, very much.
Thanks for having us.
And cheers. Thank you.
I wish you all so much pleasure. This one's just for you, Bruce.
This is CliffCentral.com.